VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk on VCY America. You know, the other day we had somebody who called in and asked, what is the latest in Phil Haney in that investigation going on? And in that there has not been news coming out pertaining to Phil Haney. Just earlier today, we did receive an email from John Guandolo from Understanding the Threat, who indicated, he said, in the last conversation with the sheriff's office handling the investigation into Phil Haney's death, they are still waiting for forensic analysis of the significant amount of evidence to be processed. It's taking a long time because of the COVID restrictions. He said, we ask you to consider continuing your prayers for his family and the investigators involved in the investigation so that that still continues to be probed at this point. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we turn our topic here today, there is much going on in our nation, and also developments are unfolding quickly. The United States Justice Department has dismissed all charges against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Since some documents were declassified, well, it's learned a whole string of government officials in the Obama administration requested the unmasking of General Flynn with some very notable names. In addition, there are senators now calling for a full investigation into the origin of the Russian collusion probe by questioning Obama officials. And the matter of Hunter Biden and Ukraine has surfaced again, along with the former Vice President Joe Biden in the hot seat for his threat to not release funds unless an official in Ukraine was fired. And while these matters are unfolding, just a short time ago today, we have the U.S. Senate approving the nomination now of Congressman John Ratcliffe of Texas to be the Director of National Intelligence. Joining us to unsnarl this matter, we welcome today on Crosstalk Rick Manning with the Americans for Limited Government. Rick, nice to have you with us today on Crosstalk.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Rick, we've got a lot to unpack today, and I think it's best if you could provide just a brief timeline concerning the events that have unfolded. Donald Trump was not supposed to win the November 2016 election. There was significant probing going on well before the election. Then he won, and then more probing after he was inaugurated, leading up to the inauguration. Events really were kicking into high gear. Are you able to just kind of pull together a brief timeline to help us understand what was transpiring?
Sure. It really is a tangled web, and it's a tangled web which started, which some people say started in 2015, actually, where the Obama administration was unmasking a lot of different people, and actually going and taking a look in terms of spying on different campaigns. But it really heated up towards the middle of 2016, when Donald Trump was going to be the nominee, and the entirety of the federal investigative services, all the various intelligence agencies, trained their sights on Donald Trump, candidate Trump, and I believe they did so because Hillary Clinton was extremely vulnerable on the issue of Uranium One, which was a sale of 20% of U.S. uranium reserves to the Russians when her husband got a big payday for making a speech in Russia right before it occurred. So it was so I think she felt vulnerable on that, and they rallied around and they tried to find something to be able to neutralize that argument with the American public. And so they began spying with no holds barred on the Trump campaign and on people associated with the Trump campaign. One of those, that's all been proven, that's all now in the, we know that occurred. The part that sort of is now winding around is the idea that the Obama officials towards the end of the Obama campaign, at the very, very tail end of the campaign, presidency, were busily doing something called unmasking, which is kind of an ironic term now. I think we'd all like to be unmasked.
Yes.
But in that situation, they were unmasking Trump officials. People were in the transition, including people on the national security staff that Trump had hired to lead into the Trump administration. And one of those people was Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. What unmasking means is very simple. Intelligence agencies are constantly picking up conversations between people who are abroad, people who are foreigners, live in other countries, and American citizens. And it's so there are these conversations are occurring all the time. And so they're constantly picking those up through surveillance. The question is, typically what happens is the person, the American, is covered up. They're not able to see who the American is that they're talking to. Unmasking is when you say, okay, we're going to take a look and see who's having these conversations. And as a result, and it's relatively, it's not rare, but it doesn't happen. It's not something that is widespread. In fact, before Obama changed the rules in late 2016, there were very few people who were able to do this, to say, okay, we need to figure out who this person is because we need to connect dots in terms of an espionage case or whatever. What happened was they decided, and President Obama extended the ability to unmask to a broad number of people, including his UN ambassador to the UN, Samantha Powers, who unmasked the most people of anybody. And it appears that like 18 of them, including Joe Biden, unmasked General Flynn on some various conversations that General Flynn had had. Understand, General Flynn was named as the National Security Advisor for President Trump. Mm-hmm. In the transition, it was his job to have foreign conversations. That's the way why we have transitions. It's why there's a three-month time period between the election and the inauguration, two-month time period between the election and the inauguration. It's so that you can get people in place, they can have conversations, they can communicate, you know, kind of get a sense of where the lay of the land is. And they're not just picking up with a cold start at the beginning of the administration. Well, the Obama administration wanted to stop General Flynn from having the position of National Security Advisor because he knew where the bodies were buried in the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. And so they needed to stop him. And that's what all this General Flynn fight right now is about. It's been a three and a half year fight, and it's all about the initial attempt by the Obama administration to protect those intelligence assets, agency officials who were illegally unmasking and illegally spying on Trump officials.
So this was a setup from the get-go?
Absolutely. There's no doubt that General Flynn was clearly set up. General Flynn was clearly set up by the FBI. We know that the own documents that have been released showed that the FBI agents who interviewed General Flynn initially said they didn't think he lied. They didn't think he was trying to lie. They said, you know, basically he was joking with them about the fact that they'd already knew the answers to the questions because they had a transcript of the actual conversation that they later on charged him with lying about. So it was clear that he had no intention to lie, and they said that up front. But we know that after the fact, Peter Strzok, who we've heard of before, rewrote the report, edited the report of that conversation to make it look as though he lied, in order to entrap General Flynn and get him to be either as Bill Priestep, who's another player in this, who was one of the Obama officials, said, either lie or get fired, and either perjure himself or get fired. That's what they were trying to do. Hmm. From the outset, that was the intent of the interview with General Flynn, and people like FBI Director James Comey bragged after the fact that he had this interview arranged when he did because the White House was in the brand new state.
Hello, Rick. Oh, we're losing you, Rick. Hello, Rick. Okay, Rick Manning here with us. We're just losing connection with him right now. Oh, there we go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you back. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, my cell phone in the basement doesn't work that good.
Okay.
So anyway, bottom line, not to make people too bored, this is a, we know that James Comey was set, had set Flynn up. We know that he sent the agents over there directly to entrap him. We know that those things, because it's in their own words, it's in the documents that got released. And the fight that's going on right now is whether or not General Flynn, who pled guilty based upon threats, they ran him out of money, first of all. The federal government has a lot of money. He had limited money. He had to mortgage his house. He basically had to sell his house to be able to survive. He's got $3.5 million in debts right now to attorneys. So they basically took his wealth from him through this prosecution. And then they threatened to prosecute his son on something that was a specious charge. And he said, okay, well, I'll plead guilty to the perjury, but you know, I didn't do it, but I'll plead guilty to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after the fact, we're now in a different environment, and he's found out, based on the efforts of his current attorney, Cindy Powell, that the FBI had set him up from the outset. It was a complete violation of every civil right that Americans expect that they should have. And he decided that he wanted to not plead guilty, which he wanted to withdraw that plea. The Department of Justice had reviewed it independently, and were appalled at what they found, because it's a violation of virtually every rule and due process that exists. They wanted to drop out of the case, and now we've got an activist judge who's bringing in actually the mentor of one of the top henchmen on the Mueller probe, Andrew Weissman's mentor. Bring him in to try to provide a prosecution, a counter case, why the Department of Justice shouldn't drop the case. It's
outrageous.
It's astonishing.
What's going on.
It's astonishing.
And Rick, normally when the DOJ drops a case, I mean, it's over, it's done with, but not in this instance. We understand, and this is Judge Emmett Sullivan, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so he's refusing to drop this. No party involved in the case has opposed the motion to dismiss. However, now he's accepting briefs on the matter. Before third parties stay out of this, now he's inviting third parties to come into it.
That's exactly correct. That is exactly correct in terms of what he's doing. And it is, last year, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where he's at, which is the section of the legal system he's subservient to, they found that you couldn't do exactly what he's doing. They ruled that was not legal. Prior to that, in a 9-0 decision, the Supreme Court wrote you didn't want in a criminal case to have third party amicus briefs and third party prosecution, that the state has absolute authority over whether to prosecute or not prosecute. The reason this matters is simple. A lot of your listeners
We need to take a break here. We'll be back in 1 minute. Why this matters, we're going to come back with that question after the break. Rick Manning is with us today, president of Americans for Limited Government, but we'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have scientists finally solved the mystery of the origin of life?
No, they haven't, Chris. And many of their claims reveal their desperate state. Recently, a simple microbe was discovered around a deep-sea volcanic vent. It was totally unique, and it was hoped that this microbe would tell us something about the origin of life. But now that this microbe has been well studied, it was found not to be primitive at all. It is equally complex as many of the microbes alive today and could not be considered an ancestor of any of them. And that's the point we can learn. Even the simplest living things are unimaginably complex. Each is different from the other, and yet each bears the signature of having been created by a very intelligent designer. None of these got here through random evolution. They were created by an intelligent creator back in Genesis.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Rick Manning is with us here today. He is president of Americans for Limited Government. And we're talking about the Department of Justice exonerating Flynn, but the aftermath, all the things that are unfolding here, we've got more that we'll uncover here during this segment. But Rick, just as we're going into the break, you were starting to mention, why does all of this matter as to what's unfolding here? And there's some big pictures here in that as we answer that question. But is it time to be asking? I mean, because we got notable people involved, including the former Vice President Joe Biden. We've got former President Barack Obama having knowledge. Is it time to ask, what did Joe Biden know when he knew it? And when did he know it? And President Obama, what did he know and when did he know it? I mean, an article yesterday that came out from your organization said that former President Obama, while still president, knew that Flynn was being targeted with surveillance, but he did nothing to stop it.
That's exactly right. He did know. There was a meeting on January 5, 2017. So it was after Trump is elected, but before he was inaugurated, where DOJ officials went over to the White House and to talk about the Flynn situation, and they had they were in the Oval Office with the president, President Obama at the time, and Sally Yates, who was the deputy, the number two person in the Justice Department, expressed, according to the transcripts, expressed surprise that President Obama was up to speed on exactly what was going on. What that tells you is he was being briefed on this on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
He was well aware of it, and we also know that on January 20th, Inauguration Day, either 15 minutes before or 15 minutes after, depending on who you hear from, Susan Rice, who was a close confidant of the president, I think she was National Security Advisor at the end, she went and did a memo from her to the president, saying, you know, this is to acknowledge that you didn't know anything about anything that was going on.
Yeah.
Basically, the ultimate CYA memo. Mm. So we know that President Obama knew about it. We knew he was involved in it. And it's once you understand that, you understand why they have fought so hard. When I say they, the people who were the perpetrators of this in terms of the actual implementers of the unmaskings, of the spying, of the whole Russiagate of FOIA prosecution that was just made up out of whole cloth. Now you know why they were so desperate to try to tie up the country with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And try to entrap the president on a perjury charge or obstruction of justice charge, and that they played that game, because once the documents started coming out, it shines a horrific light on the Obama administration. But before we go too far in that, I want to finish the point on why Judge Emmett Sullivan's bringing in third parties in a criminal case is so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Third parties, in terms of court cases, third parties can come in on liability lawsuits. They can come into the Supreme Court. It's very common for the appeals court level or the Supreme Court level for all sorts of different organizations to weigh in, because it's not about whether or not an individual is innocent or guilty of a crime. It's about a principle of law. And so that's the question, is a principle of law. There's different opinions on what the principle of law should be. That's why you typically have these amicus curiae briefs by different groups like Americans for Limited Government. But in terms of prosecution cases where it's a criminal charge, you cannot have criminal charges be politicized. You cannot have criminal charges. So having third-party groups, third-party advocates coming in and trying to supplant the role of the federal government in this case, and the federal government prosecuting on behalf of the people of the United States or choosing not to prosecute on behalf of the people of the United States. It's interesting what everybody else has to say, but it's not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because that power is restricted to the people, to the federal government, and to the Department of Justice, which is part of the executive branch. is specifically empowered. They are empowered to do it. The Supreme Court agreed 9-0 with that. So the point here is that if you did not have that rule, I could have gone to the to court and said, I'm charging Hillary Clinton with a crime for misuse of classified materials, and you have to put her on trial because I've decided that she's guilty, and I would have standing as a private organization or as a private citizen to bring a criminal prosecution against my neighbor, essentially, against anybody, without having the state or the locality or the federal government to be the representative of was a law broken and making those decisions about the prosecution. Each one of us could end up taking each other to criminal court with threat of people going to jail based upon disagreements over homeowner association issues.
Right.
So that's why. I mean, it totally destroys the entire concept of a criminal law system. And that's what Judge Emmett Sullivan is trying to do with this decision. And so it makes you ask the simple question, Jim, why would he take such a strange position, since he's taken the opposite side on this in previous court cases?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is simple. It's a calendar.
Yeah.
They are trying to run out the clock on General Flynn, on these prosecutions, on all of this, and get beyond November 3, 2020, and make it so there's and hope that there's a different president, at which point it all goes away.
Yeah. And
that's the reason.
And clamp down on Michael Flynn at that point.
Yep.
Wow. And, folks, it's all about the November election. And you've heard the mantra so many times, elections have consequences. And keep your eyes on this, folks. You cannot take your eyes off the ball on this. At the same time, Rick, we've got the likes of Adam Schiff. He says, well, even though he has said he has definite knowledge of all this collusion taking place, yet all the testimonies that have come forth and documents that have been declassified, we understand that person after person had no direct evidence of collusion. And now we also have him and, going to the Supreme Court this week saying, hey, we may bring impeachment charges again, a second time against President Trump on Russian collusion?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Here's what we know about Adam Schiff. Everything he said was a lie. Every single thing he said was a lie. He was walking around with an empty briefcase. He said, we know that Russian collusion existed. We know Donald Trump committed crimes. We know all that. But when we found out what the actual people were testifying, like James Clapper and others were testifying before his committee in private, where it was nobody could see it, but it was under oath, those people said, no, we don't have any direct evidence of that. No, I'm not willing to say that any of this stuff occurred. And by the way, many of the same people, like James Clapper and Brennan, who was the CIA director, many of them were consultants on CNN and MSNBC and were saying the same thing Schiff was saying publicly, that, oh, there's all this stuff going on and you just can't wait to see what happened. And it was all made up.
Yeah. Wow.
It was all false.
So if this is so bogus to begin with, what was the whole point of the Mueller probe? I mean, coupled with millions and millions of tax dollars, lots of congressional time devoted to this whole matter. I mean, everybody knew it was bogus to begin with.
Yeah, they did. They were hoping to entrap the president into an obstruction of justice charge. That's what it was all about. It was always about trying to entrap the president and the people around him in obstruction of justice charges and perjury charges. It was never about any underlying crime because there was no underlying crime.
Mm.
That's what the entirety of the thing was. They were going to try to take down the president by having him charged with obstruction of justice. And that's why Schiff has gone to the Supreme Court and said, we need to have the sealed grand jury transcripts from the Mueller investigation given to the House of Representatives so we can take a look and determine whether or not there was a crime committed here. Now, Jim, remember, Bob Mueller wasn't the president's friend on this,
mm-hmm.
the guy who ran the Mueller Commission. He was set up to try to make the, to get the president. That was the whole purpose of it. Every attorney on there was a contributor to Hillary Clinton. There were no Republican attorneys in the Mueller investigation. So it was a partisan hit job. Now, having said that, Mueller was not able to conclude that any obstruction of justice occurred, even though they wanted to, because, and they had all the transcripts from the grand jury. So it's really difficult to believe that suddenly if Adam Schiff got this contract, got those sealed documents, that he would be, that he'd have any more luck in conjuring up an obstruction of justice charge. Schiff is attempting to tie up the resources of the President of the United States and of this country so the President can't be the President for the last 6 months of his first term. That's what it is about. It's about negating the Donald Trump presidency in every way possible, and it is despicable. It is beyond comprehension evil, and the sad truth of the matter is I'm from Southern California originally. I've got relatives in Southern California, and the people in Adam Schiff's district think he's a hero. He is the biggest villain in American history when it comes to running a fake campaign using his power as a committee chairman in an attempt to commit a coup against elected President of the United States, and the people of Glendale, California think he's wonderful.
My. And he will stay in that position pending different results in the November election.
He will stay in that position. His goal is to run for Dianne Feinstein's seat when she steps down.
My.
His goal is to be a U.S. senator for the rest of his life.
Fox News host Tucker Carlson said the evidence shows Obama was using federal law enforcement to hurt his political enemies, namely that of the FBI. Is that really what this boils down to?
Yes, it boils down to it. And there's a whistleblower who came out 2 days ago from the Treasury Department. At least I read the story 2 days ago from the Treasury Department, who talked about how in 2012, after the election in 2012, the Treasury Department started opening up files and going into people's records, basically IRS forms, and other records that they had on people in an attempt to dig up dirt. So this was, and remember, this was after the Treasury Department got smacked around, or was getting smacked around for abusing the Tea Parties through the IRS system. So it was so after the Obama administration got away with abusing the Tea Parties, and there were no consequences, they then expanded what they were doing. They weren't chasing; they expanded what they were doing, and we saw then, and this grew and grew, and it became kind of endemic in the entire system that there was no that the records that the federal government collects became part of the means of attacking people politically. It's not American.
Rick Manning with us here today. Folks, we'll be opening phone lines here in just a short time to give you opportunity to weigh in on this. Rick Manning is president of Americans for Limited Government. You can read so many of their articles, dailytorch.com, dailytorch.com. You'll find much written there. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
It's been estimated that 28% of Scripture was prophecy at the time it was written. With over 1,800 prophecies in Scripture, taking up over 8,300 verses, don't you think God put it there for a reason? Yet we find the church sound asleep, oblivious to the fact that the bridegroom is coming for the bride. In the book, Wake the Bride, author Jeff Kinley reminds us that Jesus wants his beautiful bride, the church, to be awake and ready for his return. This resource is a guide to the book of Revelation, written to arouse a sleeping church and motivate her toward personal purity as we await his coming. You'll read about the end times, Christ's return, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, judgments on the earth, the Antichrist, the mark of 666, and so much more. Wake the Bride is available for a donation of $17 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. Just ask for Wake the Bride. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Rick Manning is with us here today. He is president of Americans for Limited Government. Rick, we gave out the website, dailytorch.com. Is that the best site there to stay in touch with your organization and articles?
Yeah, dailytorch.com has the blogs and all the articles we write. But our corporate page is getliberty.org. Getliberty.org, and you can get to the Daily Torch site from there.
Great.
Plus, we've got a couple of petitions we have up that I'd like for people to take a look at. One is stopchinathreat.org. And essentially what that does is it says, we're sick of China lying about the origins of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, and we lay out all the timelines in that. And it's a, you sign it and it's given to the President of the United States. So that's the stopchinathreat.org one. We've got another one, which is reopenamericanow.org. Pretty self-explanatory. The text, anybody who signs that, it goes directly to your governor, and it is a, your governor, it goes to your state legislators, it goes to your federal legislators,
wow.
And it goes to the White House. And the, and it's written, the email text is written to take on the argument that COVID is death so we can never reopen. Because staying closed is death. Staying closed is, it increases depression, increases unemployment, increases people's anxiety, increases inability to go get mammograms, inability to get colonoscopies, inability to get heart stents. And as a result, people are going to, it's far more dangerous to stay at home than it is to go back to work and restart society. So restarting American society is important, and reopenamericanow.org makes that case. And makes it directly to your legislators.
Well, yeah, that's another full program in itself. But folks, let me give you
indeed.
these websites again. We mentioned where the columns are, dailytorch.com. The main website, getliberty.org, getliberty.org. There's the next one he mentioned was stopchinathreat.org, stopchinathreat.org, and reopenamericanow.org, with that petition going directly to your governor, reopenamericanow.org. And we have spent several programs already on religious freedom being trampled upon, and certainly the threats that are happening to America's business today, our economy as a whole, threats to the family. We are seeing the whole issue of emotional distress taking place, suicides on the increase, on and on it goes. ReopenAmericaNow.org.
And while we're going to talk about Flynn, let me just add one thing. I've got a sister, stepsister, who is in a rehabilitation center. She's sick. She needs care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's not alcohol, drug related. It's just she's sick and she's kind of in that kind of trying to get well stage.
Sure.
And she went in there. There was none of the virus. This is in California. Somebody decided to put COVID patients in there.
Oh my.
And it put plastic sheets up to protect people from the from the disease. And next thing she knew, she was having to be tested for the virus because staff were being testing positive. And right now, she's one of two rooms in the entire facility that don't have, thank God, don't have anybody positive tested. But it's because there was a policy, Jim. It was a policy to put people who were sick in with people who weren't sick and were vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why we have the death rate. And I mean, I'm almost an evangelist on this because I'm so mad. I mean, it gets personal when when your own stepsister is sitting in that environment, scared to death because of the actions of irresponsible politicians.
Well,
said that, we can get back to
Flynn. Well, yeah, but what a mirror of what Cuomo has done with nursing homes in the state of New York there as well.
Absolutely. We're going to find out that half to three quarters of our deaths are from the nursing homes as a direct result of government policy and the state government policy in places like California, Washington, and New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. We're going to find that out. And when we find that out, America needs to say, to those governors, you are responsible. We're not bailing you out. You have to face the music in your own state.
ReopenAmericanNow.org. As we talk about Flynn, we've been hearing more and more the term Obamagate. Is that an appropriate term?
Yeah, I think it certainly is. It's we use the term gate too often, and we use it as, you know, kind of a throwaway. Everything's a gate. Well, in this case, what President Obama did and what his administration did so far exceeds anything Richard Nixon was charged with. It's almost incredible that he's been given a free pass. And let's just think about some of the things we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who used the IRS and targeted his political enemies by using the IRS. Richard Nixon was one of the articles of impeachment. He's talked about doing that. One of the reasons he talked about doing that, but he never did it. Obama did it. We know that he then used the intelligence agencies to spy on his political enemies. We know that they broke the FISA court. The FISA court was put in place to prevent the domestic use of our intelligence, foreign intelligence services, from being used against private citizens in the United States. That's the whole purpose of it. The FBI lied directly to the FISA court to be able to get the wiretaps on key people in the Trump administration or in the Trump campaign, with the full intent of using those to take down the candidate Trump. And then they continued it. They got four extensions, actually three extensions, one initial, so it went for a year. Three extensions of the FISA applications. Why did they get that? They knew. We know from the documents that have been released. They knew there was no Russia collusion in January of 2017. They knew that. It was all about trying to get evidence and be able to entrap the president on an obstruction of justice charge. So, yes, Obamagate is perfectly legitimate because President Obama didn't ever turn over the reins of power. He continued to run a shadow government from his home in Colorama in Washington, D.C., and that shadow government is now finally being exposed. And President Trump was basically, first 3.5 years were negated of his presidency by virtue of him not being able to exercise the levers of power that a president should, because he was always under attack, always under investigation by his own administration, by the federal government, by the bureaucracy that lives in Washington, D.C., breathes in Washington, D.C., and which he campaigned against. That's why this is Obamagate. It is the most outrageous crime against our political system that has existed in history. And the fact that this guy walks around saying he's the most ethical president in history, he hasn't had any scandals during his 8 years, is because the media in Washington D.C. was fully involved, fully informed, and were part of the operation, and they played along. And anybody who said anything about it they claimed we had tinfoil hats. Well, now guess what? We didn't have tinfoil hats. They were deliberately wearing blinders.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Your questions, listeners, brief comments here on the issue today, 800-733-9829. You know, it is just outrageous what's going on. And right now we've had William Barr, the attorney general, now saying, well, no, we're not going to be bringing, it sounds like you're not going to be bringing any charges against Biden or Obama. As Lindsey Graham has talked against, you know, compelling them to come testify as well. But there's a story that needs to be unfolded here in regard to the lies, the corruption, the deceit that's been going on all through, you know, leading up to the election of 2016, with the period of time from the election day to inauguration day and what's unfolded since. And it's rather outrageous, Rick. And the American people need to know what is going on. But yet we have the media fanning the flames of, you know, carrying the story and carrying the narrative of the likes of Adam Schiff in all of this.
That's correct. You've said it perfectly. It is outrageous. It is, but it's true that that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. Let me put some perspective though on General Barr and John Dunlap. Here's the key. Any case they bring, they will have to bring in one of two jurisdictions: the jurisdiction of D.C. or in Northern Virginia, which is in Alexandria, Virginia, right across the river from D.C. That's where they're going to have to bring these cases. In Washington, D.C., 96% voted for Obama. That's just a fact. You're not going to be able, in Alexandria, Roger Stone got convicted with a jury foreman who was an advocate for convicting Roger Stone beforehand. And the judge, an Obama appointee, said, well, you know, you're guilty, so we're not going to allow a new trial, even though the foreman lied during voir dire, and in effect, we should never have been on the counter case. So that's your reality of things. It is an impossible environment to actually convict a Democrat, and it is the easiest conviction in the world, any Republican. And it doesn't, and so it's not a, it is the opposite of what our judicial system is supposed to be. And General Barr has to make a determination if going after President Obama or Biden, for that matter, for the same kind of thing that they would, that a Democrat attorney general would prosecute a Republican, if that makes sense, or if it makes more sense to try to uncover everything that happened, get some people thrown in, and try to go after some people, get them thrown in jail, but try to create reforms that make certain that it never happens again.
Our lines are packed.
I think that General Barr has done that.
Our lines are packed here. Let's begin with Anita. Yep. Hi, Anita. You're on the air.
I'm wondering, is there anything we as citizens can do to stop all this madness?
Good question. Rick.
Yeah, you know, you really need to buck up the Republicans in the Senate. Republicans in the Senate are in danger of losing control of the Senate. There's a lot.
We're losing you, Rick.
There's a lot of Republicans who are in states that are less than pro-Republican or really difficult states to win in who are election. So the Republicans in the Senate need to be getting a lot of input from their constituents saying, hang in there, we need to get to the bottom of this. That's the single bit most important thing you can do.
Anita, thank you so much. And by the way, you can contact your senators at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Lewis is our next caller. You're on the air, Lewis.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you and your listeners. The Office of the Public Affairs of the Central Intelligence Agency would be very interested for your listeners, and obviously your good hosts, to contact them and explain how crooked the government's on the tilt. So their telephone number for CIA is 703-482-7778. It's extensive material. They go by the address, just a public affairs CIA, 20505, the zip code. So if your listeners can contact the CIA with problems about the system, 703-482-7778.
Thank you, Lewis. Up against a break. Thank you for the call. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In 1987, Arthur S. Miller wrote a book called The Secret Constitution and the Need for Constitutional Change. He said, quote, "A perverse system of thought control exists in the United States. The citizenry is indoctrinated by employment of the mass media and the system of public education. People are told what to think about. The old order is crumbling. Nationalism should be seen as a dangerous social disease. A new vision is required to plan and manage the future, a global vision that will transcend national boundaries and eliminate the poison of nationalistic solutions," end quote. Notice he's openly admitting mass media is being used, along with public education, to change people's thinking and to do away with the disease or poison of nationalism. And by nationalism, we mean national borders, sovereignty, our own currency, anti-globalism.
If you missed the websites we gave earlier on the program, let me repeat them to you. Websites on the internet are dailytorch.com, dailytorch.com, getliberty.org, getliberty.org, stopchinathreat.org, stopchinathreat.org, and reopenamericanow.org. Those are some side issues, but yet very critical issues right now. Matter of fact, Rick Manning is with us today from Americans for Limited Government. I wanted to get into the Ukraine thing here today, too, but so much that's been unfolding, and a lot of folk online here, too. Let's see what we can unpack. Sharon is, matter of fact, William is calling next. Hi, William, you're on the air from Florida.
I wanted to say that the reason that the deep state is able to operate and perform like this against the different characters like the president is because on every level from low offices to high, we are lacking very short-term term limits. And with those term limits, there would be a less chance of the deep state to really corrupt each person coming in every couple of years. And so because we don't have term limits like that, they're able to groom the next and up-and-coming replacement.
William, thank you for that. Your thoughts on that issue. Is term limits a problem here, Rick?
They might be, but I think the real problem is we can't fire people because of the civil service system. And what Congress needs to do is pass the Merit Act, which would allow for recalcitrant, lazy, and bad employees to be fired from the federal service. If these guys had their pensions on the line, if they had their jobs on the line, they wouldn't pull these kind of shenanigans.
Interesting indeed. Thank you, William. Sharon is next. You're on the air, Sharon.
Hi, Brother Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I have a really quick question, and I'll take my answer off the air. I've been watching what these evil Democrats have been doing for years, and here's my question. Do you think they ever will really be prosecuted and jailed? And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Rick?
I think some will be prosecuted. I don't know if they'll be convicted, but if they're prosecuted, at the very least, we'll get people under oath, we'll get the facts out. As I explained, I don't have a lot of confidence in the D.C. jury system.
Mark is next. In Monroe, you're on the air.
Yeah, the gal before me kind of already touched on this, but I'll throw it out there anyhow. My question is, if Barr doesn't pursue Obama, do you think he'll at least go after James Comey so that there's at least some semblance of justice after all this impeachment and giving Flynn the third degree, et cetera?
Thank you, Mark. What about Comey?
I think Comey's a small enough fish that he's potentially in the barrel.
He's potentially what? You say he's potentially what, Rick?
In the barrel. I think he's
in the barrel.
Vulnerable.
Okay, vulnerable. Okay, thanks. We had cut out there for a moment. Robert, you're on the air in Glendale.
Yes. My question is this. In light of this conversation, when you look at how instrumentally China and Russia together now are have formed arms to destroy America, and how these individuals that have been participating in these actions since the election of our president, Donald J. Trump, they have to all, it seems to me, they're all working together, and now we have the coronavirus that has come in and essentially destroyed our economy. It just seems like they've all worked together instrumentally to do this, and it just ties in with the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Thank you, Robert, for that. Appreciate it. Let me ask you, Rick, he brings up an interesting point about many things being hit against this president, the Russian collusion allegations, the coronavirus, and even the attack upon our nation and in that regard, the economy and so forth, cover-up as to the origins of this virus as well. Do you see this as being a concerted effort?
China will spend more money on trying to unelect Donald Trump, to try to defeat Donald Trump, and spend more influence in trying to defeat Donald Trump than any foreign nation has in the history, perhaps the combined history of all of our elections.
Wow.
They see Donald Trump as an existential threat to them, and he is, because he'll stand up to them. So, yes, China in particular, Russia's Mexico with nukes, China in particular, will exert influence on businesses who do business there and on anybody who wants to do business there, and through their various outlets they have already under control. Forbes magazine is owned by a Chinese company, by the way. So they will use that influence to try to push against Donald Trump, push against his agenda, and try to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. There's no doubt. And for anybody who's worried about the Facebook ads that came out of Russia, what we're going to see, the onslaught we're going to see, is going to be astonishing. And the same people who were upset about the Russia supposed involvement are going to turn a blind eye to what China tries to do. It's up to the American people to tell them, no, stand up and stand up for America.
Merle is calling from Tennessee. You're on the air, Merle.
Yeah, Jim. I just wanted to say that Judge Solomon, along with these governors that are holding out and locking down, trying to make it last to after the election, none of these are acting on their own.
Hmm.
There's a Democratic kingpin behind it all. I believe it's Obama.
Hmm.
I believe he's behind Biden. I think he'll run things when Biden gets in. We need to be praying hard. We need to pray for Durham. We need to pray for Barr. We need to pray for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Barr's interview, he did say, as of now, if I remember, he says, as of now, Biden and Obama are basically off the hook as of now. He did say we are pursuing other criminal charges against others.
Yeah.
So, but pray hard for Durham, Barr, and Trump.
Thank you, Merle. Appreciate that. Rick, we're down to 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with the listeners? Wrap up your thoughts on this.
Absolutely. We've seen an unprecedented attack on our political system and an unprecedented attack by China through either the incompetence or the direct decisions to attack our economy through this virus. We have to be tough. We have to stand up to China. We have to reopen America. And if we don't do those things, we lose. It's very simple. We lose. Our country goes away. This is the election. This is the time to stand up. We have to reopen, and we have to hold China accountable.
Rick Manning, our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is president of Americans for Limited Government. Stay in touch with them, folks. They put forth articles, news, blogs, information you'll not get from other sources. DailyTorch.com, GetLiberty.org, StopChinaThreat.org, ReopenAmericaNow.org. Rick, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.